Take notice. So today's Bible reading from Matthew 10, 40 to 42, it was only two verses long, and it includes one word six times, welcome. I think the repetition says, take notice of this. See, the reading comes at the end of some instructions about how to treat missionaries and prophets when they visit and preach. And I think the long instructions about visiting preachers has to do with the poor treatment many had received in the past. So let's take notice about that. And let's also take notice that Jesus always pays attention to those who have been historically marginalized, oppressed, abused, and forgotten. Jesus loves all. And please remember that parable about the lost sheep. Jesus didn't say all sheep matter. Jesus attended to the one in trouble. That'll preach. You see, welcome is essential in Jesus' teachings. Welcome the stranger. Welcome the poor. Welcome the outcast. Welcome the immigrant. Welcome the powerless. Welcome the marginalized. Welcome the tired. Welcome the lost. Welcome the children. Take notice. Welcome everyone. And I think this welcome has to go beyond our congregational greeting time and coffee hour. Even though we're not meeting physically now, we still have a time to pass the peace and a virtual coffee hour after church. They're great. And the welcome Jesus talks about has to go beyond them. Welcome is about inviting folks to be part of the community. Welcome is about caring enough to have longer conversations. Welcome is about masking up in public to keep everyone safe. Welcome is about cutting someone's lawn. Welcome is about giving and receiving blessings. Welcome is about a transition from feeling like an outsider to feeling like part of the family. We fail it, I know. But that's what welcome is. It's about a transition from feeling like an outsider to feeling like part of the family. You know, the behavior of so many people who claim to follow Jesus lately, for a long time, but it's been atrocious, yeah, especially this year in the United States. Overt racism, overt bigotry, belittling the importance to physical distancing, you know, for slowing and reducing the spread of coronavirus and protecting the most vulnerable. How about standing on a soapbox to proclaim that anyone who doesn't follow their narrow brand of religious belief is doomed? Or using the term law and order to justify brutality and murder? Celebrating the marginalization of immigrants, the LGBTQ community, using the cover of God hates this or that thing to make it all work. Arguing that practicing one's religion means shunning people who do things differently. Demonizing a religion because people misuse it with violence, but refuse to follow the same pattern when people in your religion do that. Or just being generally vindictive to other religions, shunning those who are different. Nice. You know, I don't want anything to do with that kind of religion. I want to follow the one who is welcome, blessing, goodness, generosity, and love. A decade ago, I co-directed a volunteer work camp at Tower Hill Camp and Conference Center in Sawyer, Michigan. Part of the week included devotions based on a song by the group Jars of Clay. The song was called Small Rebellions. Each day, we thought about, talked about, and tried to live out something from the song, Small Rebellions. Like, that's sort of a go-against-the-flow idea, but more than that, small rebellions for good, like going to camp to work, or something that would work these days. Like seeking ways to make a difference, like finding ways to offer welcome when turning away seems easier. There's another line in the song. We are hearts and arms that reach, like reaching out to one another in love instead of finding ways to fight and to argue. Hearts in every form still matter. Remembering that God loves everyone, no exceptions. Push against the current. That's similar to small rebellions, but At camp, we talked about issues that we're willing to stand for, things we're willing to go out on a limb for, ideas that we're willing to step way out of our comfort zone for. Senseless, brutal acts of kindness. That line. I'll say it again. Senseless, brutal acts of kindness. This one brought up the most discussion, and I think it hit home the most. The words senseless and brutal seem completely at odds with acts of kindness, right? And because we always see them connected with violence and hate, well, they are. But senseless, brutal acts of kindness are acts of kindness that go beyond a smile or opening a door for someone. It's doing kindness that goes beyond the simple. It's doing kindness that invites someone to be part of the community. Let's take back that sense. We will never walk alone again. Well, I know. Right now, we're supposed to maintain distance. But there is a metaphorical look at that. When you are gathered in digital space, whatever, you start as strangers. At camp, we started the week as strangers. And sure, some folks knew each other, but as a group, we were strangers. And in just a few short days, we became a community. We worked hard. We played. We grew closer to God and to one another. We experienced God's unconditional love, and we built relationships. We can do all of that still. Every person in this digital space needs to sense God's unconditional love. I hope every person senses God's unconditional love. Every person here or anywhere gets to love whom they love. Every person is someone for whom God cares and someone whom God has blessed. Everyone in this digital space, every person has a gift to share. You know, it's easy to say all lives matter from a position of privilege where the color of your skin doesn't put you in more danger of dying. Perhaps if humanity lived as if all lives matter, there wouldn't be a need for movements like Black Lives Matter. There is a need for movements like Black Lives Matter. There is a need for a societal examination on white supremacy and white privilege. Let's work toward the end of systemic racial injustice. And as we do that, let's invite. Let's show up. Let's be generous. Let's love. Let's welcome. Amen.